Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willem Wenner speaking. I'm here with Olaf Borkers and Patrick Kiss, and thank you for joining our call on the preliminary results for 2016 and some details about the acquisition of Olympia Center in Brno. Let's start with the basis of our business, the operations on page two. We had a strong fourth quarter concerning the retail turnover of our tenants in Germany, which could make up for some, but not for all of the extraordinary week preceding the third quarter of last year, which was mainly influenced by peculiar weather conditions. Overall, for the full year 2016, we saw a slight decrease in our home market in Germany, a minus of 0.75%. In more detail, we can report that the electronics showed a good growth with plus 0.8%. The remaining segments showed decreasing turnovers. However, most segments improved visibly from the Q3 level. Fashion textile turnover decreased by 0.9%. However, this is a promising improvement from minus 2.4% in Q3. Shoes came out with minus 1.9% after minus 4.4% in Q3, and sports showed a minus of 2.9%. The department stores improved slightly to a level of minus 0.8%. Q3, this number was minus 1.7% still. Looking at the total group, we are happy to observe that our centers in Poland, and especially in Hungary, showed again positive numbers. For the full year 2016, the like-for-like turnover growth in our centers abroad was plus 1.3%. For Deutsche EuroShop Group, that means that the overall like-for-like tenant sales decreased by 0.5%. Looking now at the total sales, leaving aside the like-for-like adjustment, we saw basically no change in Germany. That was minus 0.1% and a plus of 1.1% abroad. The overall tenant sales in all Deutsche EuroShop centers was stable. As a result, the rent-to-sales ratio stood again stable at a level of 9.2% for the portfolio now. Footfall development in Germany was a little weaker compared to 2015. However, for our centers abroad, we saw increasing numbers, which was especially pushed by our center in Klagenfurt. Let's come to slide three and a change in our portfolio, which now starts to become visible in our numbers, which you will see later. In October, we appreciated our comeback to the transaction market with the acquisition of a 50% stake in the STRABAG Center in Neunkirchen. We reported as reported from BAT Pension Fund, a major co-owner of the property is the Otto family. The net purchase price of the SPV, excluding debt, was 79 million, which we paid out of our acquisition credit line. We will refinance the acquisition with long-term debt probably from April onwards, and the expected rent for 2017 for the whole center amounts to 12.8 million euro. This represents an NOI of 5%, and the existing financing for the STRABAG Center still bears some historical interest that are, compared to today's level, substantially higher, approximately 4.3% until 2021 latest. The agreed purchase price accounts for that effect, of course. However, as the loans are to be refinanced only later, the effect of the FFO shall be interpreted having that in mind. It was the first acquisition after 3 years of observing the market and placing bids in one or the other auction. Additionally, we are happy that we have secured the acquisition of the Olympia Center in Brno, the Czech Republic. I will give you more details on this largest single investment Deutsche EuroShop made in its history on the second part of the presentation. Let's come back to the more detailed operation numbers. There to our tenant base and the developments in 2016 on page four. Eight names in our top 10 teams stayed the same, with only some changes in the order. Additionally, we saw two new entries, which is the dm Drogeriemarkt and Thalia Bookstore, the latter becoming an independent tenant after the spin-off of the Douglas Group, and they are replacing Inditex and Esprit. The proportion of the rents we charge to our top 10 tenants in comparison to our overall or total rent slightly increased to now 23.2%, as before, a healthy and rather independent setup. On page five, we show you the maturity profile of our lease agreements. With nearly 6 years of rental income supported by lease contracts, we feel very comfortable going forward. However, we also see tenants increase to prefer shorter lease terms, aligning them more to their operational and market needs, e.g., concerning the life cycle of their product and shop concepts. Such development does not need to have negative implications in itself, as it can support a more frequent modernization of the shop concepts. But we'll monitor this trend closely. Let's now come to the numbers for 2016, approaching them from a top-down perspective and benchmarking them with our guidance on page 6. Total revenues increased to 205.1 million, so we are 0.5% above our target range of 200 to 204 million. EBIT was 178.6, well within the communicated range of 175 to 179 million. The EBT, excluding valuation, was 134.5 million, was above the expected range of 127 to 130 million, without the contribution of the acquired SAPAC Center for the last quarter. EBT excluding valuation would have been 133 million, such number also being above the forecast. Let's now go to the P&L in more detail on page 7. Revenues increased by 1.1% in total on a like-for-like basis. We came out slightly above our guidance as we received higher than expected turnover rents. As said before, our tenants saw good sales in the fourth quarter. Furthermore, also the income from more leasing was higher than expected. A further contribution came from higher penalty payments from tenants that cancelled their contracts before maturity. All in all, a nice development, whereas some effects are considered to be more one-offs. Total property operating and management costs were slightly higher than 2015, an amount of 1 million euro, mainly due to higher maintenance costs. With 9.9%, the overall cost ratio was 0.3 percentage points above the level of 2015, but fully in line with our internal planning. All those effects resulted in an increase of the NOI by 1.3 million to now 184.7 million. Other operating income increased by 1.4 million because of reversals and provisions and reimbursements, also for taxes, for example. Corporate costs came down to 7.5 million euro, mainly due to extraordinary personal cost items in 2015, and total EBIT was then up 1.3% to 178.6 million euro. Net finance costs amounted to 13.9 million euro. The increase resulted mainly from the lower at equity result, which contributed plus 55.3 million to the financing cost. Here the main effect came from the lower valuation gains of the shopping centers that we partially own in joint venture companies and which are accounted for by applying the at equity method. The valuation gain here amounted to 28.7 million euro in comparison to 47.2 million in the previous year. Low interest costs and regular amortization payments contributed to an interest expense reduction of 3.1 million euro. Part of that interest saving came also from the effect that we have been paying only variable, that is very low interest rates for our loan in our center in Gdansk, as we are still in negotiations for the prolongation, and so such special effect will be reduced once we refinance the loan and fix the interest rate. Finally, the positive effect from a P&L relevant swap contributed to another 2.6 million euro to the financing result. Let's come to the valuation gains of our shopping centers on slide 8. Some general remarks at the beginning. The year 2016 again proved that the demand for good quality shopping centers continued to be very high. Correspondingly, prices increased again and led to a yield shift of approximately 15 to 25 basis points on average for such high quality assets. These developments are also the main driver for the appreciation of our assets for 2016. The valuation gain of our consolidated assets after minorities contributed 116.8 million euro to the overall profits. To get to the total proportional valuation gain of Deutsche EuroShop for year 2016, we need to add to this the amount of the valuation gain of the at-equity companies, as just stated, 28.7 million, and then we end up with 145.5 million euro. We are, of course, happy to see these substantial valuation gains. However, just for the purpose of good order, would like to point out, as usual, that such effects are, of course, non-realized and non-cash relevant, and that they can be very volatile now and also in the future. This is to a large extent also due to the external factors which we can control, and which can work both ways. E.g., may in a normal cyclical development at one point in time also result in substantial unrealized valuation losses in times of general falling shopping center prices. So while we appreciate the valuation results very much, we as company focus much more on our income and FFO numbers in this respect. However, as valuation is always a very important topic, we have prepared another slide for the valuation result, which we'll show you in a moment. But first, I want to sum up the overall picture for the group on slide 7 again. The EBT, including valuation, was down 29% to 281.5 million euro, again driven by the very high valuation result in 2015. With taxes of 59.8 million euro, which are also mainly lower due to the decrease of the deferred tax liabilities relating to such valuation gains, the consolidated profit decreased by 28% to 221.8 million euro, which is still a very good profit. Now on page 9, we come to the underlying valuation parameters that have been applied by our valuators, Jones Lang LaSalle. In the first chart, you see that our portfolio, or for our portfolio, the development of the weighted average of the net operating income yield, which is the NOI divided by market value, and also the net initial yield, which is NOI divided by the sum of market value plus acquisition cost. For the periods under 2014, the numbers you see here came from our former valuator, Ferry GfK Geomarketing. And starting with the valuation for 2015, we have engaged Jones Lang LaSalle for the portfolio valuation. The average yield compression of 19 basis points for our portfolio is therefore in line with the investment market. The weighted NOI yield of our portfolio now stands at 5.24% and the net initial yield at 4.94%. To show you the sensitivity of the valuation results to changes in the main value drivers of such valuation, we have provided you with a table at the bottom of the page. As you can see, and would expect, the sensitivity of the highest is highest for the changes in the assumptions of the rent developments and the discount and capitalization rates. We now come to the bridges, starting on page 10. Very easy to follow. The revenues saw an increase of 2.2 million or 1.1% from 202.9 to 205.1, a rather moderate development, but in total slightly above German inflation. The bridge for the financial results you'll find on the next page. And the financial result was 11.8 million higher than in the previous year. Following the steps in this bridge, from the left you can see that the interest cost decreased nicely by 3.1 million. A P&L relevant swap positively contributed another 2.6 million. And that leads us to the main deviation, that is the change in the at-equity result. Here the difference comes to a very large extent from the valuation result 2016, which was approximately 18.5 million lower than in the previous year. Minority profit share increased slightly by 0.9 million euro, along with the increase of the general result. The SAPAC Center participation contributed 1.8 million to the at equity result, so all in all, the financial result came out with 13.9 million euro. Let's come to the EBT bridge on page 12. EBT declined substantially by 113.2 million to now 281.5 million euro. Again, the valuation result was the main driver behind that change, contributing 122.5 less than 2015. The remainder resulted from the increase of the operating profit by 5.6 million, which is a plus of 4.5%, and the SAPAC Center contribution was 1.8 million here. And finally, now let's come to the profit bridge on page 13, which looks a little similar to the EBT bridge with a very dominating effect from the valuation, of course. Here the individual changes can be commented as follows. The valuation result after tax was 93 million lower than last year. The operation contributed 3.9 million or 3.4% more to the EBT of 221.8. And here the share of the SAPAC Center was 1.3 million euro. On page 14, we show the effects on our earnings. With EPRA earnings, a total of 123.7 million and an unchanged number of shares of 53.9 million, the undiluted EPS were 2.29 euro. This is an increase of 11 cent or 5%. And total earnings per share accounted to 4 euro 11 after 5 euro 73 in 2015. The determination of the EPRA earnings was adjusted for 2016 and the prior year's values restated accordingly, and the increase in the prior year value is a result of the adjusted recognition of deferred taxes in the calculation of this figure. For the FFO numbers, please follow me to page 15. Our FFO for 2016 was 129.9 million, which is 6.5 million euro higher than last year. And on a per share basis, the FFO grew from 229 to 241 euro, which is a plus of 5.2%. Here we see already some positive impact from lower financing costs, and the positive impact from SARPAC accounted for approximately 2 cent per share. Now let's come to the balance sheet on page 16. Dominant effect comparing 2015 with the preliminary numbers for 2016, of course, also mainly comes from the increased values of the investment properties and the equity participation, and of course, the SARPAC Center as additional asset. The non-current asset increased by 268.4 million, and furthermore, the current assets decreased by 5.6 million, mainly driven by a 6.1 million lower liquidity of 64 million euro. The group equity has increased by 179.7 million euro, including the minority share of 31.4 million euro, both also mainly due to valuation gains. Debt financing was higher by some 38 million euro, resulting from a higher usage of our credit line over the balance sheet date and also influenced from some regular amortization of the consolidated loans. On the other hand, the deferred tax liabilities increased substantially by 49.8 million, also mainly in connection with the unrealized valuation gains. Other liabilities were 4.7 million lower. The major effect here was a reduction of the negative market values of the interest swaps. So our balance sheet presents itself even stronger. Our equity ratio improved nicely by 1 percentage point to now 54.5%. And our LTV came down from 35.5 to 34.2%. And looking a little ahead, we expect the LTV, including the acquisition of Olympia Center in Brno, to be around 35.5%, still at the lower end of our defined LTV target range of 35 to 45%. On that basis, the EPRA NRV is presented on page 17. The 2016 year-end EPRA net asset value per share now stands at 43.24 euro. This is an increase of 3 euro 66 per share or 9.2%. And the calculation of the EPRA NRV was also adjusted in respect of deferred taxes compared to 2015. We restated the prior EPRA NRV from 39.12 to 39.58 euro accordingly. On page number 18, we want to give you some more information of our debt. Of our consolidated debt, some 750 million euro becomes due in the next 5 years. We still see good potential for a visible reduction in our interest costs over the next years. And the legacy findings are therefore still the only reason for our, compared to today's level, still rather high average interest rate of 3.67%. But the average interest rate will come down significantly already in 2017. In the midterm view, we expect an average interest rate below 3%. For the purpose of clarity, we should mention that, incidentally, most of the latest refinancings we conducted for our non-consolidated debt. That's why the average interest rate for our consolidated debt has not come down more visible already. On page 19, you find a more detailed maturity profile and the corresponding interest rates of the debt. For information, in year 2017, you will see the expiration of our convertible bond. In the table at the bottom of the slide, you see that also the non-consolidated loans offer, from today's point of view, some room for lower interest rates too, but not before 2020. So this leads us on page 20 to a little outlook. Normally, we'll finish our result call with a two-year forecast. As we are a bit earlier this year with the numbers, and much more important, we were able to sign the acquisition of the Olympia Center in Brno just now. We'll include such acquisition after closing into our planning model to give a high precision, precise guidance for 2017 and 2018. We'll provide you with all the details, most presumably in our annual report, which we'll publish on April 28th. We further want to inform you already now that we'll extend our EPRA reporting by increasing the numbers of EPRA key performance indicators, and we'll provide you with those together with the final results of April or end of April. On the operational side, we recognize that inflation might come back slowly. At least in the last 3 months, the base effect of low energy prices 1 year ago led a German inflation around the targeted 2% level. We are generally happy about this development, and if it is sustainable, it will help us to increase our revenues. But this effect will need some time to be visible in our P&L if it stays like that, as indexation regularly is applied every second year only. On the other hand, we have observed that the negotiations with tenants on average take a bit longer, and currently it is challenging to push through rent increases. Taking these effects into account, we expect the like-for-like or on a like-for-like basis, a more or less stable rent for 2017 and 2018. However, we also consider the positive effects from still low interest rate environment going forward. My colleague Olaf Borkas will negotiate our existing bank financings and refinancings of a total volume of approximately 200 million within the next weeks. And these are the next steps to bring down our average interest cost down. For approximately 70 million expansion plan for our Galleria Baltitska in Gdansk, the building permit procedure continues to be protractedly, but we hope to get enough clarification to make a decision in due course. Regarding the dividend, we stick to our plan of distributing €1.40 per share for 2016, just as we have communicated before. Yeah, and regarding the investment market, Olympia Brno is a big bite out of the cake for us, but we'll continue to take a look at every decent center that comes to the market. We know of one or the other which will potentially come to the market, but we surely won't be the only interested investor. So far my presentation on the preliminary numbers for 2016. Now I would like to give you some details on our acquisition of the Olympia Center in Brno, starting on the next pages. On page 22, you will find some of the key data that we have published yesterday evening. We acquired 100% of a very big center, even in terms of the German perspective. The lettable space is 85,000 square meter. It's a big number of shops, around 200. It's almost fully occupied. Has some 4,000 parking, which is a very high number, but which is needed in the location where we are. And it has, and this is very important, a very big realistic catchment area of 1.2 million inhabitants. I come to that back later. It has been opened and developed in four phases, starting in 1999, and it has undergone a refurbishment in 2014 and 2016. There is a fifth phase that we could add to that, but we would have to reapply for a potential extension of 5,000 square meter with the building permit authorities, and more importantly, we will have to get access to some space which is leased out long term, so this will not happen before beginning or mid in the 20 years, but as we are a long term investor and we have the time to do so, the investment our investment scheme looks long term, there's still some things to be done on that end, so adding a fifth phase. If you look at the anchor tenants, you find the names that you would expect at such a center with such a number of tenants. However, not all the international brands are in, some haven't entered the Czech market yet, like we would like, for example, to try to get the Inditex group in the next years, so there's some room also to improve the tenant mix and to make that center even more attractive. It's one of the biggest in the Czech Republic. The next page, some operational key figures. You see the productivity is around 2,500 euro per square meter, which is lower than in Germany, but it's good for Czech standard or Central Eastern Europe standards, I should say. There are a lot of other centers which are good and in the market, but they have even below 2,000 euro per square meter. So for that country, it's a good number. The average rent is 19.25 euro. It's, of course, leased out at market, but as I just said, or will continue later on, we see some possibility to improve it. On the other hand, I mean, it was leased out over the last 5 years by ECE. They're professionals, so they, of course, try to get the rents they could get from the market. With 8 million visitors, which is a good number, a normal range for the rent-to-sales ratio, around 10%. And the weighted average lease term is 5.8%. This is pretty much that what we have in our portfolio at the moment. I don't know whether you have heard about Brünn before. I have had in my professional past, and I've been there a couple of times. It's the capital of the Southern Moravian region, and when we later go to the maps, you will see what that means. The population is 380,000 people, which is quite a mid-sized city for that region, but there's more metropolitan area around it is around 600,000 people, and the whole region has 1.2 million inhabitants. It has a good purchasing power above average, being the second biggest city in the Czech Republic, and a very good unemployment rate of 4.2%. If you follow me on the next page, we'll find our target countries, and now we have added the Czech Republic, and I think it becomes obvious that it makes sense for us to invest in the Czech Republic. It fits logically, and I mean, if you look at the key data for the Czech Republic, it has very good growth rates. If you look at GDP, income growth is also good, and it's considered to be the Swiss of the Central Eastern Europe, so I think there was no reason that this country shouldn't be on our investment map, so we are happy now to have added it to that map. For the ones of you who just have started that haven't never been in Brünn, we consider to do our investors meeting there beginning of September. So if you want to join us there, first of all, you would learn more about the center and also the Czech Republic, and it's just a two-hour drive from Vienna. On the next page, you see a little bit the heat map, that is the purchasing power index for the Czech Republic, and it looks like you would expect it. Of course, a major capital, or here Prague, is the highest when you look at the purchasing power index, but you also see in the lower right part that Brno, where Olympia is located, is also second biggest city, well, when you look at the purchasing power index. If you, on the next page, look a little more into the micro location, you will see a map from the city of Brno and the surrounding areas. And, of course, a center of that size is never downtown. It can't be. It's much too big. But, however, it's rather adjacent to the city. And in the smaller picture, you see it's very well located, very visible at a junction of two big streets. And with a lot of parkings, it's a very central and convenient location. As I said, it has 4,000 parkings, and we even have a bus stop in front of the center, and we even run a privately run bus line that brings people downtown from downtown to the center and backwards. So it's very easy accessible. On the next page, you see the floor plans. It's a two-story building. We just wanted to show you that it's a clean, straight, and very flexible structure that we can adjust to all the needs that might come in the next years or decades. So we are happy to have that structure here. And some of the ideas we might have, but again, it's mid to long-term future. If you see, there's a big hypermarket. That's the dark blue box at the lower left part. You can see, or professional could see, that we could shrink that space for the hyper long term a little bit, create more productive spaces for smaller shops, but then we have to wait till the contract with the hyper coming up for releasing. But still, I mean, it's a very good structure and concept that we look at. If you look at the tenant mix, I will find out that it's a little less fashion and shoes and oriented than others, but this is not so untypical, first of all, in Central Eastern Europe. If you have a center which is more hypermarket driven and even has a furniture store inside and so on. So, but the message is the tenant mix as well, and we'll of course develop it further according to the needs of the market. On page 29, you find the expiry profile of the rental contracts. And here's easy, you can see the phases that have been implemented year by year. So there are quite some contracts coming up for releasing 2019 and 2020. And we'll see that we can do the best by, of course, keeping and increasing the rents. And here on a side note, I mean, if you listen to us regularly on our quarterly calls, you will have detected that the like-for-like tenant sales in the center are rather flat, sometimes even a little below, fighting against online growth. We just got the numbers for the like-for-like turnover increase of the tenants in that center last year, and it was 6.6%. I'm sure that will not happen every year, but the other years before have been also rather nice, but tenant sales growth to that extent is a good basis to talk about rents going forward. Talking about competition, on page 30, you'll find many yellow dots, which are all considered to be shopping centers, but to be honest, there's only one competitor, which is the Galeria Vankovka, another ECE-developed and managed shopping center, which is right downtown, but it serves a little bit the other needs of that city. People that are just tend to walk through, to eat there, and to serve other needs, to buy a little bit. We are more the evening, weekend, time-spending location where you really do your purchases for the full months, or you spend a whole day with the family. We have a big cinema, the biggest of the region, that shopping center. We have a huge outdoor entertainment park, including a kids' railway, which goes over a very big area outside with playgrounds and with climbing zones and stuff like that. So my message is there are two very good running and fully led centers. This is the Vankovka and this is us, and both work much more complementary. There are other shopping centers. One is right maybe 2 kilometers from our center away. If you enter it, if you come with us, you will see it's half empty. It has not so many shops. The concept is not right, so it's not really competition for us. So besides all those facts, some impressions on the next pages from the out and the inside, and we are happy if you join us to show you to you live in September. Maybe from the inside you see it on page 33. It's very spacious, it's refreshed from the inside, the interior, and it's more what people are looking for, like a third place on the weekend when they spend all the time with their families. Coming back to dry numbers, again on page 34, the financial details. We acquired the 100% from 2 closed-end funds, one run by Rockspring, the other by by ECE. We expect closing to happen in the first half of 2017, to be honest, rather earlier than later. The total investment will be around 382 million euro, and the net purchase price, excluding existing debt of the SPV and excluding acquisition cost, is approximately 207 million. Financing will be done the following, 217 million debt, which is roughly 57% of the overall acquisition, and proceeds from the capital increase. I'm sure you will have followed the news overnight. So we have a 165 million capital increase done overnight. So it's fully financed through. Expected annualized rent for 2017 will be 20.1 million. Expected NOI yield 5.1%. Expected net initial yield 5%. And the SPV will, of course, be then fully consolidated. And yeah, the guidance we set will adjust as soon as possible and probably tell you more about that with the publication of the annual report 2016. So far, that's my presentation, and I'm now happy, or we are happy, to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from the line of Peter Papadakos of Green Street Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the presentation, Willem. I have just one question, really, on how you think about capital allocation. So you've been looking at shopping centers for quite some time. Unfortunately, the share price of Deutsche EuroShop has drifted lower. What is it about the upside of this particular shopping center that would offset the dilution from raising equity at a discount to NAV?
Yeah, that's always also a question of timing. But first of all, we look at the property. And the property has really an FFO yield at this stock price level and financing cost level of 7.5% and above. We're just fixing the interest rate, so we don't know very precise, but in that region it will be. And creating that FFO and being able to lift up the overall FFO per share of with just one center, and being a big company like EuroShop with already 20 shopping centers, I think the value creation is there. I mean, we increase FFO per share for all shares. That we have been probably a little unlucky that yesterday the stock price came down, and it came down from the level when we started that deal. I mean, we have told you, I think, already in June, July last year, that we are looking at a bigger center. It took that long as it is, and once you have secured such a deal and you're through with the negotiations, I mean, there's no mean to wait, to defer it, that probably the stock price develops in another direction. So having said that, I mean, we're in a long-term business, and if we can secure such an asset, and we think it's really producing good FFO, also on a per-share basis, I mean, that's what we offered in the market and it was taken.
Got it. Okay. Thanks, Bill.
The next question comes from the line of André Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sirs. First, congratulations to the acquisition after, I guess, a very long period of work from your side. First question concerning your results. What is the key reasons or the key reasons for exceeding your guidance by 3 to 4 million? You mentioned this in your presentation here and there. There are some one-time effects. What part is really sustainable, which we can put into our model for probably next year?
Yeah, it's not so easy to say, because it's not one piece that I could tell you and say, yeah, put it in the model or not. But what we have seen is, I mean, turnover rents have been better than we expected. So if you tell me where the turnovers are next year, I could tell you how you could adjust your guidance, as turnovers are rather flattish at the moment. But it was probably turnover rent, which is good news, which could come back. It's mall income, special mall income that we have that could be reproduced. But of course, the higher than expected and on average penalties from tenants that leave the center, this is rather a one-off. Yeah, and this was the later one was probably 500,000 euro higher than expected or average. If you go through the next points and they sum up to the 4 to 5 million you just mentioned, in the other cost that we have. We had a little lower than expected depreciation on receivables from tenants, I should say so. We were probably in the planning a little too conservative, but I mean, we have talked about over the last quarters about more insolvencies that we see. We have re-leased those spaces, but you always lose a little bit. So yeah, we hope they stay at a lower level, but they could come up on a not too high level, but the numbers that we have planned in the last years and will plan going forward. With other effects where that came down, for example, that we have an LTI system for the management. It's a smaller piece, but I mean, as Peter just mentioned, the stock price has come down, so we could release some of the provisions for that. And then there's, of course, a big effect on the financing cost. Some is really that we have lower debt and decrease the interest rate by renegotiating the loans. One other effect is that we just, as I mentioned before, refinanced Gdansk last year on a variable basis, which made sense until we refinanced on a long-term basis. So it's probably not sustainable as we will fix that rate, which is probably another million. So it's all the bits and pieces that add up at the bottom line to the amount you have seen, but they are all not dramatic, but they all worked probably a little in our favor in comparison to our last forecast that we made end of November when we communicated.
Mm-hmm.
So I would dramatically shift your model, to put it that way.
Yeah. So when you come up with a refresh guidance on 2017, of course this will include Renault, but one should not expect that the large part of the outperformance last year will be also be effective in 2017. Is this a message?
Part, but I couldn't tell you which part now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I wouldn't just lift it up.
Yeah, sure.
We will work to do so, but there are some one-off items.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next question comes from line of Erik Salz of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Some of the questions have been answered, but can you please comment on the valuation of the Olympia Center, latest external valuation, and compared to the 382 million acquisition investment price?
Yes. I mean, the valuation is, and probably maybe the sales side will issue it in their press release, is 374 million. And we do have also, which is not really related to the property, some ancillary costs, and we have due diligence costs about a little above a million, and we have 2 million costs for the capital increase. We have another 2 million for the debt financing, the upfront fees, and the remainder is some working capital adjustments that we did, which we have to pay for. So this is, makes up 8 million difference between 382 and 374. As we buy
right.
companies, they needed to be made some capital networking capital adjustments. Yeah.
And the 374 how does that compare to external valuation? Is that equal?
Yeah, that's supported. That's supported.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And that's what you will see when we consolidate it. Of course, we'll have the purchase price allocation, and then you will be able to derive that.
Yeah. And can you say something about the level of debt, the cost of debt that you that you're discussing now with debt issuers for this acquisition?
Yeah, it's 2.1 to 2.2. We are still fixing the interest rate, but probably 2.1 would be a good result, and we'll fix it in the next days.
And then maybe last question, what's your, do you have any anticipation on, you know, where you think you, rental levels can go in this center if you start to do relettings? What do you expect uplifts can be?
Yeah, it's hard to say, I mean, because you need to look at it year by year and shop by shop. I would expect it to grow faster than the German centers, but mainly coming from the good turnovers of those that those centers produce, but it would not be put it that way wise or let's say reasonable to say this center grows with 2.5% instead of probably 0.5% in Germany. This is not how the market works at the moment. But I think there's room to really grow visibly above the German market in the next years.
Right. And maybe
the major trigger will be then to, if we get to the hypermarket, to some space, because this hypermarket is too big, put it that way. There needs to be some reinvestment done, and then we can create more productive space. And then it's always hard to say, is it now a reversal or is it a capex? Yeah, it will be a mixture of both. Yeah, so it's again not a hockey stick that we are buying here from the performance, but it's I think it's a good contributor to the portfolio.
Right, and the leases are these indexed or?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of them are indexed, and most of them are not more than 95% are in euro. Some are in Czech. One is in this historical in US dollar, but this is just minor. But most of them are indexed. Yes.
Okay, 95% are euro contracts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That was it for me.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Neuhold of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. I have two questions. Firstly, on the financing mix of the deal. I understand in the past and also from your strategy you prefer to put an equity portion in acquisitions, but if you look at your balance sheet, the LTV was only 34% in 2016, and if I did the math correctly, even if you would have chosen 100% debt financing, your LTV would have hardly moved above 40%, yet you decided to issue fresh equity at a 50% discount to the NAV. Can you maybe elaborate on the rationale here? And the second question would be on the FFO per share accretion. I think you indicated roughly 3 euro cent after the capital increase. You have still a lot of quite expensive debt in place, which is to refinance it in the next 3 to 4 years. Would you say that even if you take into consideration the FFO uplift from lower cash financing costs going forward, the deal will still be accretive on a per share basis, let's say on a 3 to 4 years horizon?
Yes. Let me start with the first question. You might know that many of the centers where we co-own with other owners. So we finance on the property level. Also, the other projects to get attractive financing costs are all financed on the individual property level. That has its advantages. One disadvantage is, then sometimes the individual property ends up with a very low LTV. Yeah, and what you see in our group is the average out of that. But it's not so easy to steer and say we take up here, let's say, 380 million or 82 million in debt, because all those properties are encumbered already as we finance on the property level. So that's why we do it to some extent, like the SAPAC Center that we have bought last year is fully financed by debt, the 50%. Yeah, and we have increased a little bit the level here. Usually we have done in the past 50-50, now it's 57 to 43%. But having said that, in that case, we needed a capital increase, and we are not that flexible on the group financing level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what we also need to bear in mind, I mean, I'm now old enough to see cycles. We have seen a lot of appreciations in the values, and this is also one driver why the LTV has come down. Yeah. We repay our loans out of the FFO. And really redeem on a net basis, but on the other hand, valuations have come up. So if in another cycle, it's very easy, and we're conservative, we look at those cycles, it also can be easily that the LTV jumps 5% from one year to another if for one reason or the other we have an external crisis or property prices fall. We have all seen that. So, you're right, we are a little low probably, but first of all, it was not really possible, and secondly, we don't want to be over-aggressive on that end. Yeah. So on an FFO per share basis, yes, of course, we also run our scenarios there, but I think with 2.1% cost of debt and a little faster growing rent, as we expect in comparison to the German part of the portfolio, put it that way, we are sure that it will even after refinancing in 10 years in various scenarios be accretive.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Anna Pan of Kempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. There are two questions from my side. The first one is, would it be possible for you to share with us what is the IRR for your acquisition of the Olympia Center, both geared and ungeared? The second question is, given the fact that the center was owned 50% by ECE, which is also a major shareholder of Deutsche Euroshop, Mr. Otto, is there any potential internal conflict as you were purchasing from a related party? And how would you address this to existing shareholders, given that you have acquired a center with dilutive capital increase? Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, with the IRR, we can make it very short. We really don't look too much at all into IRRs because we are look on the buy and hold perspective, and then the question is, what is the exit capitalization rate or exit cap rate you look at? So you can calculate yourself rich or poor. So we are really looking on a long-term hold basis and an FFO basis, of course, EBIT basis, what this center is producing in earnings. And right. Put it into perspective of capital cost and so on. The other point, and I'm happy that you ask, looks probably a little touchy from your end, but on the other hand, first of all, we dropped out of the deal, become second, I think, already in July, when the auction was over. And we were not happy because we wanted this asset, but then luckily that was around the time when Brexit took place, and obviously one of the bidders came from the UK and didn't have the means, put it that way, to proceed the transaction, and they came back to us. Let alone that tells you that there is no extra access for us to get assets. We need to be competitive in the market. And secondly, the transaction, we set up, of course, full teams here independent. We have Chinese walls, like market standard, what you would expect. And to be honest, I got a call this morning from the sales side managing director, and even smiled a little bit at me and said, I think we have been even more arm's length than we should have been because they are from their end. The ECE fund, there's just little auto money in it, but it's more than 95% international pension funds and, more importantly, 50% a direct seller, Rockspring, also double looked on the fingers of both sides, if you want to put it that way a little, describe a little roughly. And then thirdly, this was last summer. It took us now until yesterday to sign the deal, so both sides really negotiated fiercely about many, many points. If you buy such a big center for orderly good price for them, it's also good for us, but it's also good for them, you really do not compromise. You negotiate hard. So I think with all those ingredients, having another seller on the other end, for example, Rockspring don't care to whose the center is being sold, with the other auto fund co-investors, we definitely can prove and have conducted a very arm's length transaction here.
Right, okay, because you mentioned that you were in the first phase of bid and then you dropped out and then you came back again. Did your offering price change when you come back to the acquisition competition again in the second time?
Yeah, if you're in the auction, of course, we didn't match the price of the first bidder, of course not, but I think there was not too much room for us to maneuver because then there's always the third bidder, and you don't know that. It was really bidding phase. However, we were able, and this is why it took so long over the next, if you calculate from summer, probably 7 months or so, to really negotiate the deal through when you come to other terms like the price, like the conditions in the contract, like some findings, what you usually have in your due diligence, how you handle them, and how they are evaluated. But on that end, yes. But on the other hand, nominal-wise, the price has not changed from our initial bid. I think what the other terms of a usual transaction relate to have improved through that, becoming a second bidder and then first bidder at the end.
Right. Okay. That's clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Manuel Martin of Oddo Zeitler. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. One follow-up question on bidding auction process. You said that there was an auction where you dropped out, and then after the UK bidder got out after the Brexit, the sellers came back to you. Is there any reason why they came back to you directly, or why didn't they set up a second auction?
You know, first of all, they have set up the auction through a third party. So Jones Lang transaction team was running that. And first, I mean, there was not too much time in between. I mean, we placed our final bids, I think, a couple of days before Brexit, where nobody believed from us that it will happen, but then it happened. And then came up a couple of days after Brexit. Yeah, so the deal was still hot, if you would want to put it. Even potentially a third or fourth bidder was behind us. We don't know. This is the way how it works in an auction process. And then we said, yeah, we stick to our offer. And then we negotiated it through. So, I mean, you don't need to restart it if you have a line of bidders waiting. It would have been different if we wouldn't have agreed, let's say, now. I mean, it would have been their decision to come with such a center to the market again or not. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
This answers your question, but
It gives me a direction. That's good.
Okay. It's not like selling stock overnight. I mean, you have to start the full process, and it's always not good to come back to the market with a deal after a couple of weeks again. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I understand.
Higher than in the first round.
The next question comes from the line of Sam Warwood of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. I think it's largely been addressed by these questions, but I had a follow-up on, again, surprisingly enough, this Olympia acquisition. Central European retail in particular has been quite a hot market recently. A number of sources of buyers been quite keen on it, particularly the South Africans, and this is, you know, one of the few centres in the area that is larger than 75,000 metres, so I imagine in quite a lot of demand. And generally, yields have compressed in this asset class by certainly 50, 100 basis points over the last 12 or 18 months. Can you sort of talk us through, you know, why move now into this market after it's been, you know, quite competitive and quite hot in investment demand for, you know, quite a while?
I mean, I think all the investment markets have been hot since 5 years in all regions. So I think we have seen increasing prices over the last half decade. For us, it's always the question when we think that a high-quality center, or yeah, for us it's a shopping center, comes to a market, and if the capital cost are fine, meaning, of course, stock price and debt cost. So our WACC is fine. We need to look at it, and if it's even accretive, I think it's a point of time to buy. Because it's not like that we also only can do deals anti-cyclical. It's wait for crisis and then buy after the crisis at higher yields, which seem to be more attractive. So, I mean, even... I mean, somebody asked whether we have decreased the price from our initial bid, which we, of course, were not able to. On the other hand, the other side came, because the deal took longer and longer and longer, quarter by quarter, they, of course, came back and tried to increase the price, which we, of course, also refrained because they said, I mean, they have initiated that bid around May, I think. So this is 10 months ago, and we bid, of course, on the initial yields in those days. And, of course, kept the price. So as the rent stayed roughly the same or grew a little bit, on a relative basis, it became even a little cheaper for us now. Yeah, not dramatic, but, I mean, this is, I mean, a 5% net initial yield for a top center in a very good city in the best central Eastern Europe country. I think it's a good deal. It's not cheap, but there are no cheap good deals out there.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Michel Varaldo of Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. Two questions for me. The first one is about the retail turnover for last year. We have a clear improvement during the last quarter. In all sectors, with one exception, it is sports, which is worse in the last quarter than in the first three quarters. Do you have any reason for this? And the second question is about Olympia Center. Do you have some capex to put in this center? And do you know the amount which was put in capex during the refurbishment between 2014-2016, please?
First, looking at the turnovers, I mean, what you see is largely red numbers with the exception of electronics. You rightly reiterated that. But if you look at the third quarter numbers, they looked even much, much more red. And I think the year, it didn't start that bad, the first and the second quarter, but then we had an absolutely terrible third quarter, meaning there was sunshine where there should be cold weather already and cold weather where it still should be sunny because it's the rest of the summertime. And it just didn't improve so much in the fourth quarter to make up for this extremely bad third quarter. So you see even that that the segments that usually are better, yeah, because textile is suffering since quite some time and so on, but even like health and so, those segments that have grown even over the last couple of quarters much better, that even they came down. So it just meant that people spent their time outside when it was sunny and just do not shop. Yeah, so this is in a more general answer to that, but besides that, it would be guessing.
Yeah, all sectors were better in the last quarter, with the exception of sports. And that's it. I ask if you have any problem with attendance in this sector or not.
No, you couldn't say as a general. With sports, it's probably so that winter came in extremely late again. I also personally suffer always from that because I try to do some skiing in the Alps. And the snow just came, I think, in the second week of January. So if you don't get it in like in the old days in November or December, where people really then buy their ski or whatever equipment, then they are missing some turnover. So this would probably be a reason why sport is a little worse.
Okay, thank you.
This is not a scientific answer, but it's trying to answer from a good gut feeling. Concerning CapEx, I mean, we have, of course, due diligence the project quite intensively. We have, I mean, as it's as some parts are 20, 22 years old, have found some smaller issues, but really smaller issues, so they are accounted for in our CapEx costs that we, or not maintenance costs, I should say, so they take part of some of the CapEx, but we don't have discovered a real CapEx backlog. There are some things that come in the next 10 years, so we have some smaller amounts that probably come up in year 5 to 10. But then we have also evaluated them, whether they are distributable to the tenants. You know that the contracts that we usually have, and this is also true for that center, many of the improvements that need to be done, except of shell and core, are to be paid for by the tenants. So we think that probably a smaller one-digit million amount, so anything between 1 or 3 million, will remain with us for CapEx for the next 10 years and only starting in year 3 or 4. Yeah, but we have taken sufficient CapEx assumptions, more conservative one, to put it into the valuation for 374 million.
Yeah, and the refurbishment during the last 2 years, it was significant?
It's hard for us to account or to derive that in really in numbers. I mean, they have done the interior, which looks really fresh and fine, some restructuring, but I think it's probably any number between 10 and 15 million. Yeah, but this is we will of course look now deeper, and when we acquire the company, we'll see all those contracts for the improvements and the numbers. But I think that's a fair guesstimate what they have invested in the period between ECE and Rockspring bought it and now.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Wellner for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. We are happy to reward you solid results for 2016. We are even more happy to have put another flag, Deutsche EuroShop flag, on a map in Europe. We are sure that we will have, and you and our investors will appreciate that in the mid and long term. yeah, and we're happy to hear then next time and potentially see you in Brno in September. Thank you.